Well, today we're going to be answering a question related to the famous 77s prophecy given by Gabriel to Daniel in the 9th chapter of Daniel. And it's a huge question, the whole area of the 77, so we're just going to touch on one aspect of it. So here's the question that brother in the Netherlands sent in to us at our website. Dear brothers, who of you can answer this question about the date setting of the terminus ad quo of the prophecy of the 70 weeks of Daniel? I completely agree with you following Sir Robert Anderson and Harold Honer, and I do so already for years, but last week I came across the studies of David L. Cooper at biblicalresearch.info. You probably have heard of him, and this was the first time I got some doubts about the starting time of the prophecy, although not too much to be weakened in my opinion that it has to be the right moment. What upset me a bit was his reference to Isaiah 44:28, who says of Cyrus, quote, "He is my shepherd, and he shall fulfill all my purpose," saying of Jerusalem, "She shall be built, and of the temple your foundation be laid." And also in Isaiah 45:13, it states, "I have stirred him up," that is Cyrus, "in righteousness, and I will make all his ways level. He shall build my city and set my exiles free, not for price or reward." Although I know the original doesn't say Cyrus in Isaiah 45:13, I believe it's still about him reading the context. That's why Cooper says this is a very special prophecy 150 years before it happened. But in this prophecy, he refers the rebuilding decree to Cyrus as the text reads. So the fulfillment, the start of the 77s, has to be in 536 AD by the decree of Cyrus. So is there anything wrong with the fulfillment of the prophecy when it's not Cyrus who gave the decree for the rebuilding of the city, but only Artaxerxes? Can you comment on this? Thank you very much for the blessings you share in your books, articles, and studies. I really enjoy them and praise my Lord for this good food. Well, this is an interesting question. And before I get into talking about it a little bit more, I want to just mention a couple of aspects of terminology which we see that crop up in this situation. One of them is terminus a quo, and the other one is terminus ad quem. And these are Latin terms that have historically been used in studies of this prophecy. And terminus a quo, which is Latin, means limit from which, and this has to do with the starting date. And terminus ad quem is Latin for limit up to which, or the ending date. So when you hear people talk about this prophecy and they mention terminus a quo and terminus ad quem, that's what they're getting at. The starting date and the ending date. So his question here essentially is, there's this prophecy in Isaiah about Cyrus that gives a lot of emphasis to him being the one that ends up, rebuilding the city. And so does that mean that the timing in Daniel's prophecy has to start with that, situation? So first let's look a little bit at this prophecy in Daniel 9:24 through 27, which was given by Gabriel to Daniel. And it concerns an overall period of 70 groups of sevens, which most scholars believe the sevens are years. There are some people who argue differently, but I'm among those who believe that it's talking about a period overall that sums up to 490 years. And in the prophecy is determined for the Jews in their capital, Jerusalem. So it concerns specifically the Jews in Jerusalem. And then in Daniel 9:25, we see the mention of the starting point of the 77s. And the period from that point until Messiah, the prince. And so in Daniel 9:25, we read, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah, the prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, the street shall be built again in the wall, even in troublesome times. So in that passage, we see that the starting point, or what is termed often the terminus a quo, the starting point, is the command to restore and build Jerusalem, after which there's a period of 7 and 62 weeks that are mentioned in the next verse, 69 weeks altogether that transpire until the Messiah appears. And of course, we assume he appears because soon thereafter he is cut off. So this prophecy of Gabriel represents many questions, many of which we can't go into here, but a couple that we would maybe touch on is, or at least to think about in relation to this question, is when did the period start historically? In other words, which command is the one that starts the clock for measuring the time period? And then when it says, until Messiah the Prince, how is that to be understood? And there's many ways that that has been understood historically by people looking at this prophecy. Some of the examples of the more likely points in time that until Messiah the Prince would refer to, one could be the birth of the Messiah, Jesus. The other could be his baptism, that is the beginning of his public ministry. A third possibility is it refers to his presentation as king when he rode in on the foal of a donkey in fulfillment of Zechariah 9:9. And then a fourth one, of course, could be his crucifixion, although that's less likely because it's after the 69 weeks he's cut off. But anyway, that's a possibility as well. So along with some different ideas about what the end date could be as far as the Messiah arriving on the scene, there's also this question about the start. In particular, which decree is it that starts this? And must it be the one by Cyrus? And of course, different biblical chronologers have different opinions about when Cyrus gave his decree. Some have him giving the decree as early as 538 B.C., others have him giving it as late as 536 B.C. And as Cooper and our question notes, in Isaiah 44, we read that Cyrus will say to Jerusalem, quote, you shall be built into the temple, quote, your foundation shall be laid. So clearly Cyrus there is associated both with the rebuilding of Jerusalem and also the laying of the foundation. And this is the view of David Cooper and Arnold Fruchtenbaum. And if you have, if you get a copy of Arnold's book, Messianic Christology, on page 141, you'll see him discuss this prophecy and his whole view of following in the footsteps of David Cooper, who takes, give different reasons why they feel that Cyrus must be the one who is referred to there. So let's take a look now at what Scripture records about the decree of Cyrus, though. So in Isaiah 44 and 45, it's pretty clear that Cyrus has a large part in the rebuilding of Jerusalem and the temple, because he's featured there, for one, and also he is the one that issues the initial decree allowing the Jews to return at the end of the Babylonian captivity. So we can see the decree of Cyrus in two different passages. One is in 2 Chronicles 36, 22 and 23, and the other is in Ezra 1, 1 through 4, which basically state the same thing. I'm going to read what it says from the 2 Chronicles 36 passage, which reads as follows. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and also put it in writing, saying, thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, All the kingdoms of the earth the Lord God has given me, and he has commanded me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is among you to all his people? Who is among you of all his people? May the Lord his God be with him, and let him go up. Well, one thing we notice when we look at this decree, both in 2 Chronicles 36 and in Ezra 1, is that it specifically says that God has commanded him to build a house. So the focus there is on the temple. And in fact, if we look at another restatement of this, which occurs in Ezra 6, this is a situation where where the Jews are being challenged on their permission to build the temple, and a subsequent search is made by King Darius to find the records of what Cyrus originally did. And in that passage in Ezra 6, it states much the same as what we've read, and it deals explicitly with the house of God. In fact, the phrase house of God, the house of God being the temple, is mentioned 11 times in that passage. And we don't see the city mentioned so much as the house of God. In fact, no mention is made of the city or the walls. And if you look in Daniel 9:25, it mentions that part of what's going to take place in rebuilding the city is the walls as well. However, Cooper and Fruchtenbaum and a number of others are of the opinion that although Cyrus's decree focuses on the temple, by implication, the city would also be rebuilt. They reason that, well, look, if you have a temple, people have to live nearby to attend the temple, and therefore that kind of implies that the city would be rebuilt. Well, this may be, you'll have to look at the argument yourself to determine whether it's valid or not. My main aspect here is just dealing with, do we have to take Cyrus's decree as the decree that starts the time clock? And whether or not that's the right position is some kind of a secondary thing I'm not going into on this question. But Cooper and Fruchtenbaum argue, well, look, if they're building the temple, then the implication is they have to build the city. Well, that may be, but it encounters significant chronological difficulties. Just to name a couple here, the latest that the decree of Cyrus has been dated by Babel chronologists, that is the latest in history we can push it to, is about 536 BC. Furthermore, if we look at the different dates that different Bible chronologists have given for the birth of Jesus, we'll find that the earliest Jesus is thought to have been born is 7 BC. And I'm not saying that I believe he was born in 7 BC, but I'm just saying worst case or best case, let's take 7 BC for the birth of Jesus and 536 as the latest for the decree. And so obviously when you look at those, you've got about 530 years or 529 years between those two. And obviously if the 69 sevens occur at the presentation of Messiah, then that would be 483 years, 490 years minus the last, seven. And the gap between those dates that we just talked about exceeds 483 years by a significant margin. So that's one of the kind of the problems with assuming that the Cyrus decree is the right decree, because Messiah doesn't show up 483 years after Cyrus gives his decree. Now Cooper appeals to differences between the Persian and our own system of chronology to attempt to explain this difference, but many find this explanation unconvincing. And in particular, if we take Cyrus's decree as a starting point, one of the problems we have is that this prediction of the arrival of the Messiah would have to understand a number of complexities that make it unlikely that anyone would have benefited from the prophecy, because who could have figured out how to account for this gap? And so one of the things when we're looking at explanations for this prophecy is we need to keep in mind that the prophecy itself is meant to be useful. And if it's extremely arcane, then the question becomes, how could it serve a useful purpose? So now let's take a look again at this idea of other decrees and how they might relate to Cyrus's decree. So scholars have noted four important decrees related to the rebuilding of Jerusalem. Briefly, the first would be the decree by Cyrus between 538 or 536, depending on which chronologist you want to believe. But at any rate, Cyrus's decree in 536 or 538 concerning the temple, and you find that in 2 Chronicles 36, 22, and 23, as I've said, in Ezra 1, 1 through 4, and also his mention on Isaiah 44, 28, and following. The second decree is by Darius 1, that's Darius the Great, Hystaspes, and that's in 521 BC, and you'll find that in Ezra 6, 6 through 12. The third decree is by Artaxerxes I, Longimanus, in 457 BC, and that's given to Ezra. You'll see that in Ezra 7, verses 11 through 26. And then the fourth decree is by Artaxerxes, the same king, Artaxerxes I, Longimanus, in 444 BC to Nehemiah. And you'll find that in Nehemiah 2, verse 1 through 8. And that's the one in specific that speaks about rebuilding the city walls, which is in alignment with what's mentioned in Daniel 9:25. And that's the view that this questioner is saying is proposed by Harold Honer and was first popularized by Sir Robert Anderson in his work. Now, if we look at the Nehemiah passage, Nehemiah chapter 2, one of the things we see there, which kind of opens the question of whether the Cyrus decree could possibly be the entire answer, is the way that Nehemiah describes the city. When he's describing why he's crestfallen over the situation there, he states that the city lies waste and its gates are burned with fire. And when he makes his request to the king to go back there, he says, quote, "I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it." Notice that he says it lies waste, its gates are burned, and his desire is to rebuild the city. Well, if the city's already been built due to the Cyrus decree, that's kind of a strange request. And of course, as I mentioned, this is a huge topic, one that I hope to address in greater detail in a Daniel commentary I'm in the process of writing. And I'll survey the major positions on the 77s and the various decrees and dates, both the starting points and the proposed ending points. And it's a huge, huge topic. In fact, it's a little bit mind-boggling to look into. It could be the subject of a book on its very own, and it has been. A number of short books have been written on it, but it could be a full-length book for sure. It's a huge topic. But back to the question, and the question is, must we take Cyrus's decree as a starting date because of the emphasis that Cyrus receives in the prophecy by Isaiah? And one of the things I want to mention here is we don't want to take away anything from Cyrus. Isaiah does emphasize Cyrus. God emphasizes Cyrus through Isaiah. And one of the reasons is, as it mentioned there, that Cyrus is fulfilling the word of the Lord through Jeremiah. And that has to do with the fact that the Jews would be captive in Babylon for 70 years, right? And notice that 70 years is a multiple of 7. And that has to do with there was 490 years. This is kind of a rabbit, a side tangent. But the 490 years that's decreed on Jerusalem and the Jews is in response to 490 years that went ahead of this Babylonian captivity where they didn't let the land lie fallow. And so during the 490 years, there was supposed to be 70 Sabbaths. And so God says, well, you owe me 70 Sabbaths. I'm going to make the land be fallow and not be tilled by hauling you off to Babylon. So the 70-year captivity corresponds to paying back the 70 Sabbaths And so then after that, we get this other prophecy of another 490 years related to the first 490, just something to note. But so Cyrus's decree is the one that releases the Jews from Jerusalem to go back, releases them from Babylon to go back to Jerusalem, and it brings an end to the captivity, and it's extremely important and highlighted for that reason alone. And it kicks off, and this is the key, it kicks off the beginning of a sequence of decrees and events that result in the rebuilding of Jerusalem. And incidentally, when you read Daniel 9 through 24 through 27, it's if Daniel fully understood it when he read it, which he may, it's actually a depressing prophecy, because not only does it say the city will be rebuilt, but it says that that's going to be a hopeless process because it's going to be destroyed again because the people reject Messiah. So it's a prophecy of hope mixed with destruction, mixed with final hope, I guess you could say. So in my view, what we need to look at to answer this question is a verse in Ezra. And Ezra provides a key verse which helps us to see that although Cyrus began the process by allowing the Jews to return from Babylon and start work on the temple, the rebuilding of the city itself depended on a series of decrees culminating with the one by Artaxerxes Longimanus. So we read in Ezra chapter 6, verse 14, these words. So the elders of the Jews built, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo. And they built and finished it according to the commandment of the God of Israel, and according to the command of Cyrus, Darius, and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. Notice in this passage or this verse in Ezra how the rebuilding is attributed to the commands of four individuals. First, it's according to the commandment of God. And of course, that's the most important commandment, and that's what Isaiah 44 is emphasizing. God will kick this whole series off, starting with Cyrus. Then number two, it mentions according to the command of Cyrus. Well, Cyrus was the one who followed upon Darius the Mede, and he also was the one that gave the initial decree to allow the Jews to go back and rebuild the temple. Then it mentions Darius, which is another Darius, not Darius the Mede. And I mentioned his decree. That was a situation where the Jews were being challenged about their rights to rebuild. And Darius went back and found the decree of Cyrus and restated it and upheld it for building the house of God, which we mentioned. And then the fourth one, it says, Artaxerxes, king of Persia. And there we saw there were two different decrees, if you will, or permissions related to Artaxerxes. So I think the answer to this question is that although Cyrus began the process of the return of the Jews to start work of on the temple, the process led to additional decrees concerning the city itself, which followed upon the decree of Cyrus. So the emphasis placed on Cyrus is appropriate, considering his command ended the 70-year captivity, allowing the Jews to return, and his command initiated the rebuilding of the temple. His command, however, led to additional commands by subsequent monarchs, which rebuilt the city as well as the temple. This, it seems to me, means that we do not necessarily have to begin the 483-year period from Cyrus's decree concerning the temple. There are other options. And again, that's a big topic on its own. But the fact that Isaiah emphasizes Cyrus, and Cyrus is a key part of the process, I think should be understood in the longer-term sequence of this verse in Ezra 6:14, where we see four different entities involved. Number one, we have God. Secondly, we end up with Cyrus. In the third place, we've got Darius. And in fourth, we've got Artaxerxes Longimanus coming to the picture. That whole process is what finally led to the construction of the city and the walls. And therefore, that's why scholars, or many other scholars, reject the position that the beginning of the 77 starts with Cyrus, but instead involves one of the subsequent decrees, which is a topic for another time.